I talked to Pastor Jorge a few weeks ago, and he mentioned to me the need that he had to go to Puerto Rico. And I am honored to be here, and it's a blessing to come back home because this is my home church. Well, my wife and I and my children, they grew up in this church, and we were here 17 years. We started with this group when from the beginning. I mean, Jorge Azidalia, my wife and I were going to different migrant camps, and we were ministering the gospel. And then we met a group that needed a praise and worship team, and we had our music. David was the drummer. David was this big that I remember when the drum appeared to be an electronic drum because you can see the drummer. and then we started playing music, and then we started preaching the gospel. We joined this group, and that group turned into what today is Life Ministries and this place. And in 98, we recorded a live praise and worship here. It was an amazing experience to all of us, including myself, an amazing experience in producing music. I have produced music for other artists, especially in the Spanish-speaking Christian, but I had not done one in English, and this was my first one in English, and it was quite an experience. I remember the air conditioning, Matthew, remember that, were on the inside of the building. There were three big metal boxes here, and they were so noisy that for the recording, we turned them off. So that was a sweaty night. Everybody was, thank God we didn't do video, other than that, because it would have been terrible. My makeup would have been a mess. I did a live, they did a video for me in Honduras. A guy from the church works at the television station in Honduras, and he did a video for me of one of the songs that I wrote in Spanish, one of my recent productions. And actually, that song was originally written here in the English version. We did it here. But I did a Spanish translation, and I recorded it in a CD that I titled Tiraré la Red. I would cast the net. But that song was about the people coming back to the Lord. The people saying, God, heal my land. I want you to heal my land. And that song in the Spanish made it quite a repercussion in many churches. So anyways, I went to Honduras to preach. And when I was there, the guy says, before you go, God pointed my heart to do the video for that song. Professional video. So they took me out to the beach, and they took me out to a place, a historical place, and they got me out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I still haven't gotten over that one, because I mean, you could do it here, but in Honduras, it's a different story. So we got up, they picked me up at 5 o'clock, and we went to this faraway places, and they recorded this beautiful video. But between takes, they would try to change my shirt. They couldn't get my head from stop sweating. So they started putting powders and things like that, trying to get a shot. But I wasn't sweaty, and in Honduras it was hot, and I had makeup all the way up to my ears, and I couldn't stop sweating. It got a little gooey after the end. But we had an experience, and the video is still in the and YouTube. Some of you may find it, and God has been so good. Recently, my wife and I went to Germany, and. Because God's this. If you remember the last time I was here, I brought a prophetic word for what's coming in 2025. And that prophetic word, I mentioned there were some victories coming for the church, but that we need to be careful, because it was when the walls came down, it was when the people of God actually got in contact with contamination. All right? And that's what the Lord says. Yes, I'm going to release some victories, but the church needs to be aware that you need to be ready for a victory, because these are difficult times. And today's preaching is the second part of that message. So if you catch the first one, then today will be the second part. If you didn't catch the first one, it's okay. You can listen to this individually. They still do an amazing job in your heart. All right? But you might want to catch the first one to really understand and see where I'm coming from when I come to this particular message. Recently, the Lord says, you will bring this message to Europe. And I'm laughing like, yeah, right. I wish I can have a vacation. But sure enough, I got a call early this year. And then a pastor from Germany says, we need you here. The Lord spoke to my wife. She had a dream. And she said that in the dream, she saw you. And the Lord told her that you needed to come to our church. So they invited us to go to Germany, and then we spent a week in Germany, and we spent 2 days with the pastor doing some RTF, a lot of healing for the pastor, and then we spent The rest of the time with the church of the five conferences, I was tired. I was so tired. But it was beautiful. The whole church got up on buses and they went outside of Germany, of the Berlin, to a different place. And that way it was, they had nowhere to go. They couldn't run away from the prophet. So it was difficult for some of them. But God, it was amazing. God was so good. So we spent a week there. Then from there we flew to Madrid and then to the North Spain, a place called, in North Spain is Asturias, is the municipality in North Spain. And it was nice and cool, beautiful weather. Guess what? We got there. We thought, okay, this time we know the church a little better. The one in Germany was the first time we met him. But the one in Spain, we have been with them before. And I said, this is going to be easier. But it wasn't. We spent 2.5 days with the pastors just doing some healing. Because the church forgets that sometimes the pastors give, they work for the church. They work so hard for the kingdom of God. And sometimes there's nobody working for them. There's nobody asking them, how are you doing? Have you noticed that the people, when they get together and they know you're a minister, you're a pastor, the first question you have is, how is ministry doing? It's always about the ministry. And how is it going? Where have you been preaching lately? What is the latest prophetic word? What is this? What is that? But we don't come to this place as asking about ministry because we know God put him there. And if God put him there, then God's going to do whatever God wants to do in that place. The questions we ask, how are you? How is your wife? How are your children? How is your marriage? And that's the kind of work we do. And after spending a couple of days with the pastors, then we did five conferences in Spain. And then we were tired. So that was the most recent one. Some more trips coming up, and if you ask me, and those who know me better, I'd rather stay home, to tell you the truth. Rosa loves it, because of course she said, we're not going to go over there and not go to Madrid. So yeah, so decided to go to Madrid, and it was a mess in Madrid. We couldn't get hotels, couldn't get nothing. And so Mrs. Taylor decided to have her concert in the same week we were in Madrid. So it was quite a mess. But we survived and we had a good time. And we are back home. Rosa didn't make it today to visit you because my sister was going to stay with my parents. And then my sister got sick yesterday. And then my wife had to stay home with my parents. My dad is 96. My mom is 80. He's 96. And he's doing amazing. But they need to be under supervision because there are some children. You know how it is. I'm going to do a few things today. I'm going to go a little quicker. I'm going to not spend too much time on introductions. But I do want to say, sing a song. And because God put it in my heart to sing today. And then depending how this goes, don't worry about it. We're not. I'm going to go to the second part of that message rather quicker than I typically do. But how many of you came here today to really worship God and to be blessed by the Lord? So how many of you are willing to give the Holy Spirit permission to touch you and to get into your life today and bless you? Right, I'm going to start with a song that was born right here in this spot. It's so good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to his name, to show forth his love in the morning and his praise every night upon an instrument, upon an instrument,
God will triumph. By the words of His hands brings me joy. This is Psalm 92. It makes me sing the wonders of His name upon an instrument. Oh, upon an instrument. Yeah, upon an instrument. I will worship You upon an instrument. I will declare Your faithfulness, and I will sing this song to You upon an instrument. I will worship You upon an instrument, yeah, upon an instrument. I will worship You upon an instrument.
That's how we used to do it here. I think God is amazing. I think God is good. I think God is something that, I mean, I met the Lord when I was at early age. I was very young when I came to the Lord. But there is a difference between an intellectual understanding of the God that you serve compared to the experience of the Holy Spirit in you. The Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit who revealed to you, to reveal to me Jesus. I can hear about Jesus and I can use my faith to believe in Him, but it isn't until the experience of the Holy Spirit gets to you that you become a different person. Now you can experience what the new life is all about. You give me some time. It's emotional to be here with a guitar.
Te amo, Dios. Tu amor nunca me falla. Y mi existir en tus manos está. Es el momento en que despierto. Hasta el anochecer, yo cantaré de la bondad de Dios. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. Every breath that but I will sing of the goodness of God. I love You, Lord. You have led me through the fire.
How many feel that way?
You are close like no other. I know You as a Father. Yes, I know You as my friend. And I will live in the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. Sing it to me. All my life You have been so, so good. That I am made, that I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good, Jesus. Every breath that I am. The goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing. the goodness of God. Father, sometimes we don't realize how your mercy is new every morning, and we don't deserve it. And yet, there you are. And yet, there you are, blessing us, touching our lives. And all I can say, Father, is we don't deserve it, but it's thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, I could be here for a significant amount of time and sing unto the Lord. There were times here that we would not stop worshiping, and we get with the first song and we ended with the last song, and then we make a closing prayer and everybody went home. And everybody would think there were no preaching today, and yet between every song somebody would come up and say a word and somebody would be touched. And then the next song will come on and somebody will say another word and another encouragement, and then somebody will be transformed. And then by the third song, somebody got healed. By the fourth song, the Holy Spirit is all over the place, and then we cannot stop. And we worship, and we worship, and we walk out of this place, and we could say we had church today. Sometimes people go to church, but sometimes people have church. And I invite you today to have church today. Do we able to come out of here and say, you know what? I will actually worship God today, and I actually had church today. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the second part of that message that I started, because it's a long prophetic preaching, and I'm the kind of person that I hate to bring you a lot of prophetic word. I hate to bring you a lot of teachings and stuff like that. I have learned that there is no way a prophetic word can come and say, thou says the Lord, this is going to happen in 2025. This, it's going to be the year, and blah, 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 and use very dramatic prophetic words like the goodness of God is going to increase in you, and there will be an abundance of this. And you use these words and you use these phrases that sound so spiritual, but at the end of the day, you walked out of here and you had no clue what you need to do. I'm serious. I mean, a prophetic word has been impacting in my life, but there's so many prophetic words were spoken over me that walked out of there and says, I can see that God is going to increase this. And he said that God is going to improve that. And it's first, it doesn't say how he's going to do it. And second, what am I supposed to do with it right now? So, and then you have this prophetic preaching. That's personal prophetic word. And then you have the prophetic preaching, which is what I typically do. I bring a Bible incident, a Bible event, and then we talked about it, and we learn from it, and we see what God wants to say, and how does that compare to today, and that's how we come up with the prophetic preaching, so we can get ready. But today, it's a day where I'm going to bring something that I don't want to wait any longer, because I think you're ready for this. And then we're going to answer a couple of questions, and then sometimes the best way to start a preaching is to bring a question, and to make sure that by the end of the preaching, you have answered the question. Because if you were able to answer the question, then we got answers. And isn't that what we came to do today? We came to get answers. So today we're going to ask one question. Do we understand the times? Because there's a difference between knowing the times and understanding the times. I can tell you, you don't need to be a prophet. You don't need to be a Christian. And you don't need to be in a church. Okay? To see and to know the times. Anybody that has lived in this nation, anybody, a person like me that been in many other countries, and if some of you have done that, you can tell that it's not even compare how difficult it is in other countries compared to what's going on here. And yet, you ask somebody here if things are better, and everybody has a completely dramatic answer. We are living in the last days. Many people have run to church. Because they understand, oh my goodness, it's happening. He's coming. And they run to church and they say, I'm here because things are pretty bad out there. And I heard that if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to a good place. And that some people run to heaven because they're running away from hell. And some people come to Jesus because they love a heaven. But I invite you today, and I said it last time and I'm going to repeat it. I invite you to come to Jesus, not because of heaven, not because of hell. Come to him because he is the truth. He is the way, and he is deserving of your worship. When you come to him because who he is, then it's not about you. It's not about what we think. It's about who he is. So I ask you today to rethink the reason you have come to Jesus. If you've thought about you, then you are in trouble. Because when it is about you, you will fail. And the moment you fail, you feel like you fail everybody and you run away. Have you seen those who run away from Jesus and they come back on Christmas? In Puerto Rico, it's different. They run to Jesus during the year, and in Christmas, they leave Jesus because it's party time. Christmas in Puerto Rico is like 3 months. You know, they start in November, all right? And those who never got sober from the last Christmas may start in October. But, all right, but they start Christmas and they don't stop. And after New Year's, they keep going. And they celebrate the Three Wise Men Day in January 6th. And after that, they say, 8 more days, please. And there's so many days off with the government over there. It's ridiculous. So people leave Jesus during Christmas. And then after January 6th or January 17th, maybe. There's one Puerto Rican there probably done that. They come to Jesus again. Musicians come back to the church. Praise and worship teams are actually back in function, back to work again. But then it happens all over and over. But when you come to Christ because of who he is, because you realize that you are a sinner and he is the only way, you never leave. You never leave. You never take a break. You grow. So today, let's answer questions that came from the first preaching. And the first question, do we understand the time? Because, yes, you know the time, but you may not understand the time. And the second question we're going to answer is, does the Bible have instructions of what we need to do now, today? Do we have instructions for these difficult times? Is there in the Bible a specific strategy? That's the word I want to use. Do we have it? So let's answer those two questions, and I'm going to start with this sort of introduction. The recent doctrines that happen in the church are not from the last doctrines that came to the church within the last 10 years. I'm talking about the last 200 years. In the last 200 years, the doctrine has been centered on men. It's what theologians call the androcentric doctrine. Theocentrical doctrine is when you read the Bible and everything is about God. So all of a sudden, when you say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, when he's about you, you say, he loved me so much that he died for me. Amen? But when he's about God, is that God loves the world and God wants to save the world and God gave his son to save the world, because that's what God wants to do. And then when you read another verse that said God is love, and I get it now, because he is love. His essence is love. That's why he does what he does. That's why he loves me, and that's why he gave me the freedom not to choose him. He gave me the freedom to even hate him. Because if he forced me to love him, then there's no love. So why bad things happen to good people? Why children die? What bad things? Because God loves you so much that the only way you can love the way he loves is by choosing to do it. So he gave you the freedom to do good or to do bad. People don't understand God because of his essence. But when you know God, you come to him because of who he is, then it's not about you. It's about him. And that makes a difference. So the reason doctrines is all about men. The churches, the science, a lot of the things that are happening are making the church trying to make changes to accommodate the world. So when the church started, the church loved the world, but they didn't accommodate themselves to the world. They actually separated from that kind of life. People sold their what they own. They changed their life and they lived a different life. That's what they call baptism. The first church baptism wasn't about getting wet. All right? It wasn't about that. baptism was about, okay, I cannot do what I used to do anymore. I'm a different person. To be born again is I'm going to get wet, and that's a symbol that I'm not going to live that life anymore. So being baptized wasn't about just getting wet and walking out and making it a ceremony. Being baptized was actually, I no longer can live what I used to live, do what I used to do, think what I used to think, speak what I used to speak, and live the same way. I'm going to follow these people, and whatever they preach, I will learn, and I will whatever they do, I will do. And that's it. They changed their life completely. That was baptism. We don't teach it that anymore, because a lot of the people in the church don't live it like that anymore. But there is a strategy for today. Things are difficult. Things have changed. And there is a strategy. Matthew 24 says that there will be false messiahs. That there will be four false prophets. And they will come and they try to deceive people. My intention today for this preaching is to make sure that you are one of those that know truth to the point that it doesn't matter what comes in 2025 and forward. From now on, you know who your God is. You know who you serve. And you're willing to die for the cross. Because if you don't understand it, you can't do it. It's not in you. It's not in your knowledge. It's not in your... Because people think everything has to be spiritual. But there's got to be some level of logic. And there's got to be a level of understanding in your mind. Even the Bible says that when you pray in the spirit. But pray with understanding. It demands that your intellect be involved. And I see a church that wants to be everything is spiritual, and everything they see, they're demons, and they want to fight demons all the time. And I see a church that's always so afraid of demons. They don't care for nothing spiritual, and everything is Bible, and everything is in the book. And if it's not there, if I cannot teach it to you in 3 points conclusion and a summary, then it doesn't work either. And I see the church so divided. When you read the Bible, it demands intellect. It demands you know things. It demands you make a decision. But it demands that you yield to the Holy Spirit. In that level of division, it's something that not even the church understand. But I want you to take you to a book in the Bible, a letter that was written by Jude. In this letter, it's very summarized. It's only one chapter, so when you go to Jude, you don't go to chapter 1, you go to verse 17, and we're going to start from there, okay? It's a very small letter. And when I give it to you as a homework today, because I'm just going to touch a few basics, and we're going to go to 3 points today, but the whole letter has a complete inventory of what's going on in the world today and what God wants us to do. So if you want to find the problem, you want to understand the problem, and then you want to find out what is the strategy that God wants to give us today. So what about Christian? What am I supposed to do? Well, that's a good question. All right? Then the strategy is right here. All right? Let's read it. In verse 17. I'm going to go to verse 19. And it says like this. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. What does that sound like? Does that sound like a prophetic word? It was prophetic. The apostles prophesied. But what did they prophesy? Let's read it. This is what they said. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own godly desires. All right? These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts. That's what they follow. Whatever feels natural, that's it. What's the reason they do that? Does it tell me why? Where it's coming from? And it's very simple. It says it right there. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So I see Christians demanding that people change, demanding that our society change, demanding that our government do this and do that, or take this law and do this. Why can you demand that? They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the means. They don't have the intelligence. They don't have the strength. It's not in them. You could do it. You can change your life. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you walk in the Spirit. Glory to God. But how can you demand that others walk the same way you walk when they don't have the Holy Spirit? So what did the Bible tell me to do? To hate them? No. What does the Bible tells me to do? This is why we love them. Because I was that person. I was that person. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would be thinking like them, doing the same thing they do, probably worse. So, does that explain the problem? Because I think it does. But if you read the whole thing, you're going to go into more details. You're going to, if you read Jude, you're going to find a significant amount of details of what's happening in the church today. I decided to concentrate into these verses because I think it's a good starting point for us to understand what's really happening in the world. So listen, it's not speaking about people outside the church. That's the confusion. This is people that do not have the Holy Spirit. They're not in the world. Where are they? They're inside the church. Because these are the ones that are inside the house and they're dividing the house. These are people that are scoffers. They laugh at you. They make fun of you. But because they walk in their own desires. When you read Luke, when you 18, Matthew 24, when you look all these places, Jesus never warned us about what was happening in the world. He told us these things will happen in the world. But you beware of false teachers, false prophets. He said, you beware of the ones that are inside. In fact, one of the prophetic words in Matthew 24 is that we're going to be betrayed by our own people. He said, the gospel is going to be preaching all over the world, and you will betray each other. Wow, this is comforting words. But it's really the reality. So today, the whole idea today is this. I want to come back to a reality that, yes, I need to be aware of what's happening, where it's happening. But the question is, what am I supposed to do? How do I get ready for this? How do I fix this problem? How do I put myself in a position to glorify God and to really position me, my family, or whichever things I can control? How can I do it? And that's the beauty of the Word of God. So right there, in now that we explain the summary of the problem, because it's a bigger problem, but at least Jude 17 through 19 has a good summary of what the problem is. Let's read the strategy, because the strategy is from verse 20 to 21. All right? What's the strategy? Which is the subject of today, the strategy for the church these days. It says this, but you. So every time you read the Bible and you find a phrase that says, but you. Or for such reason. Or for now on. Because of that. If you continue reading, you don't know what it means. So that was, we always go back a few verses and we read what's going on. So we know Jude explained the problem. We know the problem was prophesied by the elders of the church. And it was prophesied about what's happening inside the church. And he says that it was going to happen in the later times. So we're there. We're inside the church. And we can see the problem. Where is the strategy? In verse 20, it says this. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up, and you end your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And we can finish right there. We got the problem, and we got the strategy. It is in Jude, and if you keep reading again, you're going to find even more details. Let's break it down into these three areas. And I want to break it down because I think it's important that we know how that works for you, because sometimes the church don't even understand how building our faith really is, what it means, and how it does it matter. But the first point that I want to cover today in the strategy is how to build on a holy faith. Because you have faith. Everybody has faith. The Bible says you were given a measure of faith. Right? That's what the Bible says. Nobody will have an excuse. Did you know atheists use their faith to not believe? You have to believe that there is no God. So they use their faith to not believe in God. But they believe that there is no God. And that In essence, that is a belief. It takes faith. Big Bang takes faith. This can be proven, so I believe that's what happened. They use their faith. Nobody could do anything like that without having a faith in them, and that was given to all of us. The Bible says we were all given a measure of faith. What did you do with yours? So most of us today, we came here because we believe in Jesus Christ. But did you build on it? Have you built on your faith? Did you use up your faith to believe in Christ and you have done nothing else? You've been in the church 20 years and you've done nothing but your belief in Christ and sing a few songs, a couple of songs on Sundays. And where is your faith today? Well, I don't know. But if something blows up in the spirit in the last days, are you sure you're going to be able to stand? Are you ready for what's coming? Because I've seen people fall. I've seen ministers run away from the pulpit. I've seen a lot of bad things happen. I also have seen people build their faith, and in the most difficult time, unbelievable times, they stand up and they say, Jesus, still my Lord, my Savior. And if he doesn't heal me, it's okay. He's still my God. And if he doesn't save my family, it's okay. He's still my God. And if he doesn't get me a job, it's okay. He's still my God. And if I have nothing to eat, it's okay. At least I know who my God is. I've seen people talk that way, express themselves in a way, in a level of faith that demands that the listener decide, and you, what do you believe? What's your faith? Because we have this microwave society. We want things and we want it now. So we need to build our faith. Romans is the beginning. Okay? Romans 10, it says, consequently, faith comes through hearing the message. And the message that we hear is the word about Christ. And that's how we come to know Christ. All right? But what is this thing about this most holy faith? What does it mean when it says you need to build yourself in your holy faith? Then I understand now something that happened to Peter, something that happened to the apostles. And I think that's an area that the church abandoned. Either we don't know how to teach it, or we don't know it's necessary. Okay? It could be that we don't know it's necessary, and that's the reason why we don't teach it anymore. So I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. And I'm going to read it to you, and it says like this, because it's interesting what you find here. So then, just as you've received Christ, Jesus, as Lord, continue to live your life in him. So now you got Christ, you need to live your life in him. Rooted and built up. When I hear build up, what does that mean? You put more. All right? You're making it better. You're building up something. Amen? You have a foundation, this Christ, but you need to build on that. Okay, build up in him, strengthen in the faith as you were taught. Wait a minute. They teach these things those days. They were teaching this. Okay. And overflowing with thankfulness. This idea of faith confirmation is spoken, you know where? In the Catholic Church. Did you know Catholic Church take children at the age of 7, 8, 9, all right? They teach them a little booklet, and after they're going through that teaching, then they go through a little ceremony, and they call that the confirmation. After they go through the confirmation, now you can go through the priest, and he will give you the little thing, and you can have communion. The children would not have communion until they gone through that, and they call that the confirmation of their faith. So, of course, the church used to teach these things, but it made it a religious act now. But what do we do in our church today? Did you know that you needed to be taught how to understand the confirmation of your faith? So here's a prophetic word for you today, and that because I want to make sure that today you guys are ready for what's come. Victories are coming. But the church is going to end up in a position that is very difficult, and the anathema is really going to happen sooner than we expected. The question is this, are you ready for that? Is your faith strong enough? How do I build it? So during this time, some people are going to be having some struggles in their life. You're going to go through situations that are going to question your faith. You're going to go through difficulties, and there's some things that are going to happen. And I hate to say this prophetic word like this, because a lot of people say, I was hoping for better news. No, there are good news. The good news is this: you're going to have a chance to have a faith confirmation process in your life. And you're going to come out triumphant. And how many say amen? I'm going to come out triumphant. I know who I believe. And God is not going to make a waste time. Listen to this. If you go through these difficult times and you're having to confirm your faith, that means you're chosen. God is not going to waste time confirming the faith of a person. He knows he doesn't believe already. Why would he do that? He knows he's going to fail. But if you go through these things in this faith confirmation process, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Say, praise the Lord. I don't like it. God, I don't like these difficult times. But you know what? Bring it on. Because I know who my God is. And I know that you want to make a confirmation. You want to make sure that I understand who I serve. Who I really serve. Who my God really is. In Luke chapter 22, there was an incident. Jesus tells Simon, 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 Satan's coming to sift you. All right? But he didn't say, I will take you away from that. I will protect you from this. He said, I will pray for you. All right? Jesus told Simon, you're not going to go through some difficult times. Something bad's going to happen, okay? And the enemy is going to test your faith. See, Simon didn't go through a process of he didn't have food, he didn't have a car, he didn't have a job. No, it was an incident. He decided to believe in Christ. He decided to walk with him for 3 years. And at the end of the 3 years, these crazy people come and take my God, the guy that I love, that I've been with, my teacher, and put him in a cross. What a shameful event. Because it was a shameful thing to die on a cross. It was an embarrassment. And then I tried to hide, and every time he tried to hide, somebody would say, hey, you were with him. You were with him. Are you one of those Christian things? Because that's what the world's going to tell you today. Wait a minute, are you a Christian? That's embarrassing. Your children go to school, and they decide not to do some things that other people do. So what's wrong with you? You're some kind of a Christian nut guy? And what's going to happen to that child? What's going to happen to you when this difficult time comes? Embarrassment. And what are you going to say? No, no, my parents make me go there. They make me go to church. Feel sorry for me. No. It's just, I go to church sometimes, but I'm not really into that. You know, Peter went through that. He denied Christ 3 times. What did Christ tell him to do? When you're over that thing, when you're over denying me and doing that thing you do, get back on your feet, grab on your faith, build on it, and come back, and you confirm the rest. You tell the rest, you know what? I believe in Christ. If you're weak today, it's okay. I did it 3 times, and he picked me up. He picked me up. He picked me up. Difficult times are happening right now. God is telling you, I'm picking you up. It's okay. Your faith is a little weak. Sometimes you feel like, I don't know about running to church. I might as well go into the world. I feel like I'm not accepted anywhere. You come to church, it's crazy people. You go to the world, I don't really want to know what they're doing. You feel in the middle like, I don't know what to do. You know what? Get back up. Grab on to Jesus. It's okay. He loves you enough that he's giving you time for you to deny him, for you to hate him, for you to drop what you're doing, for you to go to the world, get all dirty as there as you want, you're going to be. And he's going to pick you up from wherever you go. And he's going to bring you to his feet. And he's going to love you one more time. Every time. Because he loves you. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And that's faith confirmation. It's not the pride that I've been in church and I pray and I fast every Thursday and I spend 3 hours praying and I read the Bible 17 times a day and I do this and I'm so holy. No, that's not the faith that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the prideful heart of men. the things that they can give God, everything he wants, he got nothing to give God. You have nothing to give him. You got nothing to give him. All you could do is humble and break, because a broken heart, he will never reject it. And because we don't understand faith confirmation, we don't teach it anymore. So what does it say? The first step to this strategy for these days is build your faith. And if you don't know how to do it, tell God, God, I'm going to tell you this. I've teaching people some prayers, and I tell them, if you're not ready, don't pray it. Really. One prayer that we did it in this church. If you're not ready for God to bring his judgment on you, don't even ask for it. But I can tell you this. If you don't have God's judgment on you, you will have the enemy's judgment. Which one do you prefer? Because a judgment is a decision. A judge will say, oh, you're free to go. That's a judgment. Or the judge can say, oh, you're guilty. That's the judgment I don't want. So what has the enemy been telling you? That you're guilty, that you're guilty, that you're guilty, that you're no good. You're no good for God. Don't go to church. So pray. But if you're not ready, don't pray it. But I have done this. I went to the Lord and says, God, bring your judgments on me and my family. Because the Bible says that your judgments are righteous. And every time he judges, he picks me up. He lifts me up. He heals my heart. And he gives me strength to keep going. So I'm going to give you this other prayer. But don't pray it if you're not ready. Are you willing to tell God, I gave you permission to do faith confirmation of me? All right? I want faith confirmation. Bring it on. Because I really want to make sure I'm standing on the faith. I want to build my faith, and I don't know how to do it. Could you please build my faith? It's like the people that ask for patience, you know? People say, don't ask for patience because you're asking for trouble. But don't ask God to build your faith because you're asking God to really break your heart and show to yourself whether you really believe in him or not. To be able to give you the chance to deny the God that you say today that you love, to give you the chance to deny him. And he loves you so much that if you do it and you deny him, he will turn your heart around. Because I can tell you, there's people in this building right now that have denied the Lord. And today they're here lifting up holy hands. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I have turned my back on Christ so many times. So many times. Because I didn't know how to build my faith. When you make a decision to live for Christ, you walk every morning and says, whatever you want to do, God. And you try to do the things of God. And believe me, if you try to do something for the Lord, something bad's going to happen. And then what do people do? It wasn't the Lord. I made a mistake. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. That means it wasn't the will of God. I tell you what, if you want to do something for the Lord and it's in your heart to bless the Lord, believe me, it may go wrong, but that's how you build your faith. The reason the church do not build faith is because they do nothing. We don't go preach the gospel. We don't go to missionary trips. We don't do something for the Lord today. We don't do something for the Lord tomorrow. I have not done anything for the Lord in the last 6 years, and I don't think I'm going to do anything else. Suffice with the Wednesday meeting prayer and a Sunday occasionally. Because if there's football game, God's going to have to wait again another time. We have all done it. But I encourage you today. You want to build your faith? Go use the little one that you have today. Or the big faith that you have today. Whatever size faith you have, use it. Put it to work. 2003, the Lord sent me go to Africa. That was a faith building event for me. It changed my life. 2012, God told me, go to a mountain in Copan, Honduras, and prophesy. And the Lord says, and I'll tell you what to prophesy when you get there. Are you sure? I had nothing. It was embarrassing to go to pastors and preach in a church. God gave me a prophetic word, but I don't know which one it is. I don't know what it is, and I'm waiting to get to some kind of a mountain in Honduras, in Copan. And when I get there, the Lord says He's going to give me the word when I get there. Anybody feel confident dropping an offering for this guy to go to Honduras? You wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I don't know about this prophet. We went to Honduras. We went to that mountain in Copan. The moment we walked on the mountain, it smelled bad. There was a demonic oppression in this place. We started praying. We started worshiping God. There was four people. Me, the little pastor that was there taking me to the mountain, Pastor Alfonso Mesa, my wife. We got on our knees. We prayed. And the Lord spoke. What's happening right now. The revival that we're seeing today all over the universities in this nation was spoken in 2012 in a mountain in Honduras while a oil well was broken up in the middle of the Gulf and the government was trying to plug the well, contaminating. You guys remember that? That was an event that built my faith. You want to build your faith? Why don't you use the one you have today? Do something. Do something for the Lord. And I hope it goes bad. I hope you go through an embarrassment. And you will walk out of that place. And you will know faith. You will no longer speak about faith. You will know faith. And that's how we build our faith. Because that's what's getting us ready. That's the strategy for the church today. The second strategy is praying in the Spirit. And this church is an expert on that. All right? I'm going to bring you something quick, and I'm going to move quicker from this point down. All right? I think the first one is a very good point, because if you don't know how to build your faith, you don't know how to be ready for the times that are coming. All right? The rest will come. You need to have faith to pray in the Spirit. So if you don't have the first one, forget about the last two. You've got nothing. So you want the whole package? Start using the faith you have right now. The second point is to pray in the Spirit, all right? And tell you what, for you to understand how to pray in the Spirit, you have to understand that you got nothing to give to the Lord. Amen? I mean, think about it. In reality, you and I are completely incapable to glorify God. We think that because we can sing a couple of worship songs, lift up our hands, we glorify God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Doesn't matter how high you can lift your hands or how loud you can sing your song or how many days you can fast and pray, you and I are completely, 100% incapable of glorifying God. You cannot do it. You can do those things, but understand that there's nothing in you that can glorify God except with only one condition: if the Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have the Holy Spirit, sing it all the way you want, lift up your hands all the way you want, jump all the way you want, do whatever you want. There's no way God could be glorified unless the Holy Spirit is involved in it. You want to know where it is in the Bible? Because I'm saying these things and some people look at me like, I don't know, where is that in the Bible? When I give you the word, the foundational word for the prophetic ministry is in John. I know people use Corinthians chapter 12 and all this stuff, but really the foundation is here. But the foundation for what the Holy Spirit does is here too. John 16 in verse 13 says this: but when he, calls him a he, all right, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and what he will tell you. And he will tell you what it is to come. Isn't that prophetic? That the Holy Spirit is going to show us what's to come. So you got to have the Holy Spirit. All right? He will glorify me. Who glorifies the Lord? He will glorify me because He is from me. It is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. Sometimes we don't understand that our efforts means nothing if the Holy Spirit is not in it, involved in what we're doing. So you want to pray in the Spirit? Understand that you don't have a prayer to do. Understand that you don't know what to pray for. Understand you don't know what to ask for. Understand that you may get it wrong because you don't know really how to understand what's happening with that person, what's happening in the world. You want to pray for the world? You don't know what's going on in the world, do you? You can see what's happening in the world, but do you understand it? Do you know how God sees it? Well, that's what matters. I can see the world one way. What do you think? Humans are so divided. Even Christians are, we are so divided. Because we got different points of views, different cultures. And when I pray, I'm influenced by my culture. So I used to pray more in English, but now I'll go more into the Spanish. You should see me pray in Spanglish. It's actually pretty funny. I can almost see the Holy Spirit laughing at me every time I pray in Spanglish. Sometimes I prefer tongues because in that way, He doesn't laugh at me as much. But I'm telling you, I'm influenced by what I know. I'm influenced by what I come from. And when I pray, that is influence me. If you understand that you don't know how to pray, that's a good starting point. Understand it. God, here I am. I want to ask you a few things. I want to pray. I want a better world, but I don't know how to ask for it. I don't know how to pray. I need your Holy Spirit to lead my prayer. And He will. And He will. So for these days, you want to pray for this society? Understand that you don't know what's really going on in this society. So that's what we end up criticizing rather than loving, because we pray, we speak out of what we do not know. But God knows them. God knows where they are. And He knows how I need to pray for them. And I have prayed things that I had never thought I would ever say things like that. I have prayed against spirit that I had not believed something like that would ever exist. But I've yielded to the Holy Spirit. I yield to His words. In Romans chapter 8 says that there are times that we need to let the Holy Spirit do that praying for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. And it explains how everything needs to be restored. But I'm going to jump to verse 26 in order to save some time. In the same way the creation needs, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Is it possible? Say yes. I want you to say today with me, I know I can pray in the Spirit. I'm going to give permission to the Holy Spirit to show me how to pray. Now, after all of that, have you ever heard this Bible verse that says, don't worry about it. Everything works for good. Has anybody told you that? Diane? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Whoever messed up your haircut, don't worry about it. Everything works for good. All right? It's okay. Whoever cut your hair, man, it's all for good. You know, have you ever heard that verse? A Bible verse. Well, it comes from here. It comes from this. It's after you say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask for. Things are pretty bad. I don't know what to do. I give you permission to let me know, to pray for me, to pray with me, to take out of my heart what I don't know, and you do it. That's the premise. That's the condition. And now we don't go to verse 28. It says, we know that all things, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Does that make sense now? There's a lot of Christians walking around saying, it's okay, it's all worked for good. I don't know. Did you pray in the Spirit? Because it has to be prayed in the Spirit first. It was the Holy Spirit who prayed it for, who prophesied it in your life. And now what's happening is happening, and it will work for good because it came from the Lord. But sometimes we're working on our own. Sometimes we do what we want. We decide, we pray, we prophesy whatever we want. And now in these days that everybody's supposed to be a prophet, now we prophesy whatever you want. Just prophesy to the check. Number, grow, grow, grow. Another zero to the right. Another zero. And you prophesy things like that. Like if you had authority to do things like that. And we teach things that are crazy sometimes. I want to tell you one thing. It's the time to make a stop and say, God, I don't know how to pray. And I need to pray in the Spirit. Because I may not like what I hear, but it will work for good. Because if it comes from the Spirit, it comes from the Lord. And it will yield something amazing. Amen? And that is the strategy for the church today. And with this, I'm going to close. The last step of the strategy that Jude is teaching us today is, you're going to do these two things. You're going to build your faith. You're going to pray in the Spirit. And you're going to sit and wait. Right? And that is the most difficult thing for me. I'll tell you what, I've been able to really build my faith because I put it to work. And I made so many mistakes. It's incredible how many mistakes I've made in the ministry. I've made so many mistakes in my personal life. I'm telling you, sometimes I think I'm an expert at doing it wrong. You know, as a father, as a husband, I made so many mistakes. But I put my faith to work. And God showed me that it is Him that does it. And I learned to pray in the Spirit by simply understanding, I don't know how to pray. You show me, Lord. I don't know how to pray for that person, for this situation. And He does it. And the third one is the most difficult for me. I'm a desperate person. I think I'm ADD. But some people here say, I know you're ADD. But in my mind, I think I am. If you ask Pastor Jorge and Acidalia, they will tell you, oh, I know, that guy he forgot to take his medication this morning. You know, I don't know how to wait. I don't know how to take vacation. I don't know how to stop. My wife can tell you, can you please stop and do nothing? Oh, no. I'll get sick if I do nothing. I have found myself taking apart my car and putting it back together for no reason at all. I'm serious. For no reason at all. What is behind this bumper? Do they put foam or do they put something solid behind this bumper? I wonder how these plastic bumpers really work. And I will go into my garage and I will disassemble the bumper and put it back together for no reason at all. I do not know how to wait. I do not know how to patiently wait. So I'm not going to preach that subject because who am I to tell you how to, be patient before the Lord, sister. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to pull a joke on you. Only on Him and Him. All right. So it's the last point. I'm going to close with this. I want you to go Psalm 40 with me, and I'm going to let the Bible preach it to you. How's that? Because it's better for the Bible to really close this in especially this particular subject. Of course, we could go to Isaiah 44 and this, and those who wait in the Lord shall rise like eagles, and I could do things like that. I could tell you things like that. But you know what? I found that Psalm 40. It's a lot more applicable about what's the times that we're living today. So let's read it together. It says like this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and He set my feet on a rock. And He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside of false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saying, acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. As you know, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak your faithfulness and your saving health. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. That is a person who's putting their faith to work. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and your faithfulness always protect. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. There are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and in confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back and in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. What did you find in this prayer? This is a person who says, I'm a sinner. I'm poor. I got nothing. I got enemies. I don't know what to do. You feel a lot of despair. You feel a lot of pain. Sometimes we think that David went through depression. And yet, God says that his heart was after his own. That was God's opinion. And I have gone through depression many times. You know what I understand? And as long as my heart understands that I got nothing to give, that everything comes from the Lord, He will pull me out of that slimy pit. And He will pull you out of that slimy pit. Whatever you feel you are today, He's ready to get you out of there. And I'm going to close my conclusion, and I never conclude my own messages. I'm going to read it straight out of Philippians. This particular message, the conclusion will come out of Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 21. And I'm going to let the Bible sort of wrap this up. How is that? It reads like this. I'm reading out of the New International Version to close with this. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship, it's in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And we close with this in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Father, I come to your presence and I pray, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in this place. Thank you for this amazing church. This amazing place of worship, Lord. We give you glory and honor. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front today. I'm going to ask you to stay where you are. And I'm going to tell you this thing. Yes. There are difficult times. But I think this church is a church of a strategy. I think this church is a beacon of hope. And I think I see people here, especially the younger people, ready for a fresh word. They're ready for what's real. I see a generation that is not about religion, it's about truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth. But sometimes we have to take away all this decoration that we put in our doctrines and really come to the Lord and say, Father, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do that deserved you. So here's my religion. Here's my glory. Here is my pride. Here is my culture. Here is my language. Here is whatever I know. It means nothing. I put it before the cross. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to lead my life. I give you permission to pray for me. I don't know how to pray, but I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to pray for me. And if you agree with me, I'm going to pray for God to build your faith. But if you're not ready to build your faith, be careful. But if you are, then I'm going to say the prayer. I invite you to agree with me. Father, I come to your presence. This whole church and I are right here, Father, understanding that we don't even know how to build our faith. We came to you because we understand, Father. We heard the word and we serve you because we know that you deserve all glory and honor. But many of us have come here because of our own desires, because of our own. But I want to turn my faith towards you. I want to give you all the glory. And I ask you, Father, to build my faith. Give me the strength to put to work what I have right now in my hands. Give me the strength to put to work, Lord, what you have already given me. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to build my faith, change my mind, change my life, make me new. Make me new. Your way. Your way. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. And the people say, Church, may we come to prophetic strategy. I'm a little jealous about it. I can give you all kinds of prophetic strategy and tell you where to pray, how to pray, where to put oil, what to rebuke, and come into spiritual warfare. But every time I get into the Bible and I try to find what the Bible tells us to do for these days, and this is what I find. Don't go outside to cause trouble. Trouble is inside. You may be it. How about if we all change for the Lord? How about if the strategy is this? We shall build our faith. We will pray in the Spirit. We will wait on the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to give you a testimony. Jesús, pasa por aquí. A quick testimony. We talk about a revival that is happening in this nation. Amen. And I know a lot of bad things happen and a lot of things that should not be happening. You may be seated for a second. I cannot pretend to understand everything that happens in certain places. I've been to Mexico a couple of times with Brother Angel to his theological school over there. And we crossed the border in Reynosa a couple of times. I've seen what's happening there. I've been in Honduras many times. We go every year because we have two ministries in Honduras. We have a ministry in Yucatan, Mexico as well, a church there. A friend of mine in Honduras decided to join the caravan and to cross through Guatemala all the way through Mexico to come across the border in the United States. He almost lost his life. And a lot of people are coming to this nation. And those things should not happen because a lot of people lose their life. A lot of girls are abused in the process. $20,000 can do a lot of good things in Honduras, in Guatemala. And yet, these people work all of their life, 15, 20 years, to save $20,000 to give it to a coyote so they can bring their children across the border, knowing that they're going to steal their money, abuse their girls, and they don't know if they're going to make it alive. That's ignorance. We need to know how to pray for these people. This young man right next to me came 2 years to the United States. He did it the right way. He did it the right way. He left Venezuela. He left his job. He left his business. He's a business owner in Venezuela. And he came here for a good life, for a better life. And he found Christ. And he's no longer the same person. So he came to the Lord 2 years ago, and he's such on fire for God. He just wants to preach the gospel. He's putting his faith to work, and he's already been built in the faith. And I see what God has done in this young man in 2 years, and I hate to see for you or anybody here to stay another 10, 20 years in the same place. We need to build our faith.
Bless you, everyone. My name is Jesus, and I speak as English as slowly. He is my translator for now. I thought for thank Lord for this moment, for this opportunity, enjoy the church. Cada persona.
He disfrutado aquí cada uno de ustedes.
Cada persona que está aquí.
Oh, you switch. That's what happens to me. I enjoy when anybody wants to translate. I can preach in different languages, so I cannot translate. Oh, there comes a translator. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Que le doy gracias al Señor.
I want to thank God
por la oportunidad de estar acá,
for the opportunity to be here,
de conocer esta iglesia,
to get to know this church,
a cada una de las personas que están acá,
all of you that are here today.
Me gozo con verlos a cada uno.
I'm glad to see every one of you here.
En buscar más de Dios,
looking more from the Lord, searching God more,
conocer que el camino,
to know that the way
que Dios nos permite estar,
that God has given us
en este momento,
in this moment,
aunque sea largo y difícil,
even though it is long and sometimes hard,
quiero compartir,
I want to share
con ustedes,
with you guys,
que independientemente del proceso que estemos pasando,
that independently from the processes that we are going through,
debemos tener en nuestro corazón,
we should have in our heart,
que Dios está con nosotros,
that God is with us,
en cualquier situación,
in any circumstance.
Me siento muy agradecido de estar
I'm
acá.
I'm very thankful to be here.
Y en esta noche,
and today,
oraré por esta iglesia.
I want to pray for over this church.
Y por cada uno de ustedes.
And for all of you here today.
Que Dios los bendiga.
May God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Man, so much to revelation and to chew on. I know all of us are going to go home, right? And we're going to go over these verses again. I know I am. But what a commission, right? What an opportunity for all of us to just stand up and be like, no more are we going to just coast with what's going on, right? No longer are we just going to sit back and let it happen, but because we're sitting in the church, think we're okay. Just because we're sitting in the pews, no, this is going to be action. So, Jasenia, will you, we're going to pray and bless Milo and Jesus and bless them and the families, and because we know how, like, the enemy doesn't like it when we share truth, right? So we're going to pray, and don't forget that if anybody wants, has already been blessed, I know I have, the plate is open to give, but we're going to pray for them.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence, first of all, Lord God, and we give glory, Father, to you, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father God, I just ask for your perfect peace and your protection over these two men, Lord, your sons, Lord God. Father, we know that you're a good Father, Lord. You open the doors that need to be opened, and you shut the ones that need to be shut. And so, Father, our prayer this morning, Lord God, is as you go, as we go, and as they go, Lord, that you would send them with perfect health, Lord God, that you would send them with perfect provision in Jesus' name, Lord God. Father, that you would bless and protect their families, my God. Father, from their going out and their coming in, Lord God. Father, we bind the enemy. We bind any sickness or disease that tries to come upon them, Lord God, Father, as they travel, Lord God. We just pray, Lord, your authority and your power over these men, Lord God. Father, that your angels would surround them, Lord, that the fire, Lord, that comes off of their lips, Lord God, would do the work that you have sent it to do in Jesus' name, Lord God. That the fire of the Lord would just come from their lips, Lord God, and settle on the hearts of man, Lord God, and do the transformation that they're praying for, God. Lord Jesus, may their eyes see the things, Lord God, that you felt, Lord God, that need to be seen, Lord, upon the earth, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would send them encouragement through Holy Spirit, Lord God, that they see that the fruit of their hands, Lord, is not in vain, Lord. But, Lord God, that the gifts, Lord God, that you've given them, Lord God, and the talents and the words to speak, Lord, that they would even see the fruit from the labor of the harvest that you are sending in Jesus' name, Lord God. Father, that the fruit, Lord, would the next generation would be able to feed off of it and live off of it, Lord God, for the things that they have planted in Jesus' name, Lord God. Father, we pray for your perfect will in these men's lives, Lord God. Father God, again, Lord God, let the young see what these men are doing in their lives, Lord, and be revived, God. Father, let their words bring revival, Lord God, in the churches and in the lands that you put their feet in Jesus' name, Lord God. May you get all of the glory, Father, for we know that you will share your glory with no man, Lord God. And so, Father, we call forth the glory of the Lord, Father God, that when they speak, Lord, when they lay hands, God, when they play music, God, when they serve others, God, and even as they go before people and wash their feet, Lord Jesus, that people will see you in them, God. And so, Father God, we pray that your heart's desire be poured upon these two gentlemen, Lord God. Bless their going out again, and they're coming in, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
You guys are dismissed. Don't forget 2:00 today to help transform to VBS. Thank you.